Hi, this is Connie Hunter, KCIW show host for Community Conversations. If you don't have the backstory, you don't have the whole story. Today, KCIW is at the office of Gary Milliman, City of Brookings City Manager. And we're here today to talk more about the National Disaster Resilience Competition because of the importance of this opportunity for the communities of Brookings and Harbor and Curry County as a whole. For short, we refer to this as NDRC. The NDRC application is due October 22nd, but citizens are invited to participate in a public meeting on October 5th, 10 a.m. to noon in the Brookings City Council Chambers. Curry Coast Community Radio is proud to be able to speak with City Manager Gary Milliman again today. Thank you, Gary, for being accessible and for providing a steady hand at the helm, experienced leadership, and capable public administration. With the complexities of this competition, you're the right person in the right place at the right time to administer projects of this size. So welcome, Gary. How are you today?
Doing very fine today, trying to keep up with a number of issues that the city's dealing with, and this is a big part of that.
And I got the date and the time right for the meeting?
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to make double sure of that. Anyway, KCIW attempted to record a presentation at the Emergency Operations Center on September 16th. However, our tech geniuses told me that the quality should be better so that people will be able to stay tuned for the whole presentation. So today, Gary has agreed to a do-over so that Community Conversations can get the best quality sound for our audience on this important issue. Thank you for accommodating this, Gary. And let's get started so that you can get all of the information that needs to be shared so that people can share their ideas or share their support, because community buy-in is a part of the National Disaster Resilience Competition evaluation. Gary, it's all yours.
Well, thanks for this opportunity. I apologize for not being able to have the program picked up at the presentation itself at the EOC. I have a habit of walking around the room as I'm speaking, and I'm sure I was out of the recording shot of the folks who were there. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the NDRC application that we're participating in with the state of Oregon and the city of Reedsport. First, where did this come from? Well, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development has developed a new program called the National Disaster Resiliency Competition, soliciting proposals from local governments and states across the nation to develop resiliency programs for their local communities. And resiliency means that it's a project that makes the community more resilient to disaster so that communities suffer less damage in a disaster event, makes communities more resilient to recover faster from a disaster event, and also makes communities more resilient in terms of economic development. So it's really the first time that the elements of emergency preparedness and economic development have been commingled, brought together to address a new program. So the federal government allocated $1 billion to this NDRC competition, and it's truly a competition. Local governments and states throughout the country competed in the first round of this competition, known as Phase 1, to demonstrate that they have the capacity to undertake such a program, that they have good management staff, good records keeping, have a history of successfully dealing with grant programs and intergovernmental affairs. So we also needed to demonstrate that there's a need in Brookings and Reedsport for resiliency activities, projects that would make the communities more emergency and economic resilient. So we submitted a proposal with the state of Oregon and the city of Reedsport. We were Reedsport and Brookings were among three cities in Oregon invited to participate with the state. One of the cities dropped out of the competition early on, and Reedsport and Brookings stayed with it. We were selected, Oregon was, with Reedsport and Brookings, to return to a second round of applications. This time, our application will actually propose projects, specific projects, to be undertaken to improve local resiliency. So there are a couple of aspects of this. One is that the state has adopted some resiliency goals for their new statewide program called Rural Resilience Oregon Incubator. So their elements of that program include improving life safety and property protection from future disasters, social cohesion within the immediate community and the broader region, sustainable economic development and revitalization, and preparedness to respond to the impacts of multiple disasters, including earthquake and tsunami. And Oregon chose to focus on the tsunami risk. So what the proposal includes is establishing a new Office of Rural Resilience within the governor's office at the state, and then undertaking local projects that would build resiliency in those communities. So first, what we've had to develop is a whole new infrastructure within state government, working these projects through the existing regional solutions program, and identifying communities that are at greatest risk so we can focus on those communities first. Well, the first two communities that are at high risk are Brookings and Reedsport. They're considered in risk category one among five risk categories in Oregon. And they ranked high for coastal hazards because we're not in close proximity to metropolitan areas. And the social vulnerability index, which includes factors such as age, medical conditions, and unemployment. So we have met those criteria and are developing programs to meet those needs. So we originally came up with, in Brookings, 15 projects that we have vetted through the state, who's putting the application together. They hired a benefit cost analysis economist to look at each of the projects. They had the projects reviewed by the Office of Emergency Management, the state architect, the Office of Business Development, and we've narrowed that project list down now to four projects that we are considering and will likely be a part of the state's application. One of those projects is what we call water resiliency. And the key elements of that project will be to expand the storage capacity at the Ferry Creek Reservoir to 40 million gallons. It's about 25 million gallons today, but that facility was taken out of service back in the early 1980s because of the lack of adequate water supply coming into the reservoir. But we've proposed a different approach to the water supply, and that is to reactivate the old tidewalk, to reactivate the old tide rock water source on the Chetco River, and pump out of that water source during high flow periods, to maintain the storage capacity at the Ferry Creek Reservoir, so we're not relying upon just the watershed for the reservoir, but pumping out of the river, increasing the size and making the reservoir meet current day seismic standards, then also retrofit our three largest water storage tanks to make them more seismic reliable, and finally develop an intertie between the city water system and the harbor water system. So that would allow, for example, the Harbor Water District to, on an emergency basis, draw water from the city water system if they have a saltwater intrusion problem or a major fire emergency. And there would be some reciprocity there as well, where the city could draw water from harbor in the event of an emergency. So it ties these two water systems together, providing an even more of a redundant water system for the Brookings and Harbor communities. That project has been we've received a letter of support from the Harbor Water District for that project, and the estimated cost of that project is now at $9 million. And we are planning to submit that as the city's project under this program. Another project that will be submitted under this program is funding for the construction of an expansion of the Curry Medical Center. That expanded medical center will include an expanded emergency room and expanded services to include kidney dialysis and infusion therapy, chemotherapy, and a stationary MRI, and other services that are currently not available there or are not available anywhere on the coast from Crescent City to Coos County. We believe it's important to have this facility expanded with these additional services, because what we're looking at here, both in the water project and here again in the medical center project, is to envision Brookings as an island during or after a disaster event, assuming that the engineers are correct and in a major earthquake event, all of the highways in and out of Brookings would be disrupted for a number of months. So not only do we have a need for a facility here to handle medical emergencies, but we also need a facility here that can provide services to residents who have ongoing medical needs. Services such as chemotherapy, which now requires trips over the hill to Medford or Grants Pass, that those patients will no longer be able to make those trips. So we need to be able to provide services to dialysis patients and others who will be essentially stranded in Brookings as a result of a disaster event taking out the road systems. So that's a project that our benefit cost analysis economist has looked at and feels is the most competitive project among all of the projects being submitted by Brookings or Reedsport. So we're happy to have that project included. It's a $10 million project, and we may request all or a portion of the $10 million as we finalize the application here in the next few weeks. A third project is a project that's been submitted by Coos Curry Electric Cooperative, and it's a project that will replace a number of wooden transmission poles coming from the north into Brookings with steel poles. The wooden poles are more susceptible to disaster events and high wind and storms, and the steel poles will help resolve that. Steel poles will require fewer poles. They can do longer spans between poles, so reducing the susceptibility of damage. It's really a good project to improve electric service reliability for the community. And the estimated cost of that project is about $4 million. And Coos Curry Electric Cooperative plans on contributing about half of that amount to the project. We're looking at a larger contribution from Coos Curry Electric because they are not a government entity. They're a co-op, more of a private institution. So that project appears to be going forward as a part of the application also. Then finally, we are putting together the final pieces to include a low and moderate income housing project in the application. Very likely at this juncture that will be included. We're not sure what the project is going to ultimately look like, but here's the plan, and that is for the city to be the recipient of the grant funding, perhaps $3 million, and then coordinate with a nonprofit organization that does housing programs for low and moderate income residents. It has a track record of managing those kinds of programs. Through a competitive process, we would select an entity to do the housing portion of this. The U.S. Borax Corporation, who owns the Lone Ranch development property north of the college, has offered to contribute land for a low and moderate income housing project within the Lone Ranch development. So those, all of those pieces would come together to facilitate the development of a new low and moderate income housing facility, looking at perhaps 60 units that would be going in there. It was interesting, as a part of this process, we consulted with the owners of four low and moderate income housing projects, existing assisted housing projects existing here in town, and they have over 100 people on their waiting lists for each of those projects. So there's a demonstrated need for this type of housing in the community. This would be a great assistance to a lot of people looking for affordable housing who are on those waiting lists. So those projects, along with four or five projects from Reedsport, including the replacement of the Schofield Bridge and improvements to the levee that protects Reedsport, and improvements to their drainage systems, and possibly some relocation in Reedsport out of the tsunami and flood inundation zones, are all of the projects that the two cities would be pursuing through the application. Then the rural resilience program that is developed by the state would also be in place and have a system established looking ahead at the potential for additional funding in future years, where additional communities starting along the coast would be eligible for funding for resilience projects. And so the program would just not just end with Brookings and Reedsport, but would continue on with other communities along, starting along the coast, rural communities. So we're getting ready to submit the application. The application deadline is mid-October. However, because there's a review period that's required at the state, those of us who have projects are winding up our projects now, so that no later than the end of this month, we will have our projects well-defined and available to slide into the state application to be available for public review.
This is really exciting, Gary, because what I heard you say was the water resilience project, $9 million, the medical center project, $10 million, the Coos Curry transmission, I didn't catch a number associated with that. You might have said it, but I didn't hear it.
Yeah, the total amount would be $4 million, and Coos Curry Electric Cooperative has indicated they would contribute two of that $4 million.
And if the fourth project was included, I don't know that I've heard a number associated with that.
Right now, still not sure of the final number. It appears to be about $3 million for the housing project.
So if we did our math, that'd be pushing, let's see, $19 million, $4 million, and $3 million. So yeah. $26 million?
Yeah. Now, the likelihood of us receiving that, we don't know. It's no predictions. We have 39 other competitors for this funding. It's a lot of money, but when you start allocating it in chunks of $40 million an applicant, $40 million here and there adds up.
And Gary, one of the things that I, when we did the presentation the other night on September 16th, I asked a question, and I'm going to ask that same question again here. What are the strengths and the weaknesses associated with this competition for Brookings?
I think, well, for Brookings and the state, it's really a state application that includes Brookings and Reedsport. So a major strength here for Oregon is that the state has adopted a state resiliency plan. ODOT has developed a plan for restoration of services following a Cascadia earthquake. The state of Oregon has allocated funding to create a state resilience officer in the governor's office effective January 1st. And that all of those things put Oregon well ahead of most other competitors. I think the only applicant who's focusing on tsunamis, and I think that will assist in strengthening our application. The downside is that there are a lot of places in the United States, for example, Mississippi and Louisiana, who are still trying to recover from damage from hurricanes of years ago. And they're looking at actually relocating entire communities out of the impact zones, out of the low-lying areas. So they're undertaking some major projects in high-risk communities. So I think their risk is probably higher because one of the factors to consider is the frequency of a tsunami versus the frequency of a hurricane. Well, the hurricane wins on that criteria. So I think that we've got some strengths. Some other state and local agencies probably have some stronger stories in terms of the reoccurrence of damage. So it'll be interesting to see. This is the first competition of its kind, and we're all going to learn a lot from this exercise.
And there's a part of that Oregon has really stepped up big time, because aren't they the only state that is going to have an Office of Resiliency open in January?
That's correct.
So they've stepped up to the plate big time to take that on and secure an office that actually addresses some of these missing areas where we have missing layers of planning. So another question that has come up again for me, because it occasionally, as we're out at the farmer's market, talking to people and sharing information, which will be out there through October, the middle of October, giving information, people can come out and find out more information. And one of the questions that comes up in Harbor, and you know what it's going to be. So, Gary, can you explain why this project is not remotely connected to the hot button issue of annexation of Harbor?
Yeah, it's not. Not everything is about annexation. This is about providing adequate services to the residents of Brookings and Harbor. And in this instance, particularly in terms of the water project, but the other projects as well, deal with issues that are facing the Brookings Harbor community. In many ways, the community is one, even though there's a political jurisdiction line at the river. There are needs for affordable housing. There are needs for a reliable water system, both in the city and in Harbor. There are needs for improved medical services, both in Brookings and in Harbor. And the electric line improvements will not only serve Brookings, but also the systems that extend down to Harbor. So we're not, annexation is not a part of the formula, but projects that benefit the Brookings and Harbor communities are part of the formula. We intentionally identified projects that would benefit the broader community.
And there was a really great question that was asked at the recent meeting. A gentleman said, well, why isn't housing number one on the list? And you had a great answer for that.
Well, housing is almost been an afterthought in this project because the focus was on resilient infrastructure, recovery from disaster, and preparedness. And then at the workshop in Denver, the second of two workshops on this project, it was noted strongly that, you know, the first word in HUD is housing, and that we need to look at some affordable housing programs that we can integrate into this project. So the focus of the project is on economic development and emergency preparedness and resiliency, making the infrastructure of the community more resilient, the economy of the community more resilient. So housing is not the only thing HUD does, but we have come back around to try to include a housing component in our application, and it's not easy to do because you have to try to find a way to link or tie back that housing project to a disaster. That's really what we're struggling with now, is how to make the case that the need for affordable housing is somehow related to one of the disasters that's occurred in the community over the last several years.
There are a couple of components that are, I think, really important. And just, I'm gonna say a couple words. Social cohesion and resiliency working together. Social cohesion, when the guidelines for this grant came out and they were talking about social cohesion, how can we demonstrate that and what part does community buy-in play in that?
Social cohesion is pretty simple. It's people in the immediate community and the immediate surrounding community working together towards a common goal, or working together in common interests as a single community, and identifying the needs in one community that could be satisfied with efforts being pursued perhaps in a neighboring community. And I think a good example of that in this case is that in order to be eligible for the funding, the community needs to meet the guidelines for the Community Development Block Grant Program, which establishes maximum family income guidelines. And Brookings has never been eligible for CDBG because our average income levels in the city are too high. But that's not the case in Harbor. They have a lower median income. So coupling the city's ability to structure the water project with and our ability to go out and spend $70,000 to get preliminary engineering completed for the water project before we can even apply for the money, coupling that resource that the city has with the income data from Harbor makes Brookings and Harbor together eligible under this program. So I think that this is a really a good step at having Brookings and Harbor function more as a single community, even if an annexation never happens. The two communities function much like one in many ways, which I won't get into here. But this, I think, is a contribution to that social cohesion.
And from a development standpoint, we're talking about hardcore community development when we're including Harbor in the mix. My interest is knowing how capacity is built. And that's a huge thing. We talked about language and sustainability versus resiliency at the other event. But there's a huge part of that that includes that part of capacity building, resource sharing, and really that's just hardcore community building. So we have components of economic development, but on the other end of it, community building too. So it's to me, you pour water into the lake, all the boats rise.
We could be doing so much more on economic development and community building if we were able to reach across this divide of the Chitco River and recognize that Brookings and Harbor can achieve great things working together.
There's a way that we can let you know that we appreciate your efforts and the city's efforts, but beyond that, we need to demonstrate that community buy-in is a part of the equation, part of the evaluation, and so we need to demonstrate that. And another town or another state having more community buy-in might tip the scales in their direction. So as citizens, we have a responsibility to come out and voice our support, ask our questions, come up with our ideas. And I know that's something that you've stressed all along, Gary. So I'm going to ask you to just talk a little bit more about that and be sure and give your email address and phone number or whatever you need.
Sure. Sure. We're interested in hearing from the community. That's the Brookings and the Harbor community about this application, about the potential for future projects, and keeping in mind that we're not talking about emergency response here. We're not talking about fire trucks or pontoon bridges or other activities that would be rolled out in the event of an emergency. What we're talking about here are improvements to systems that will be in place and able to respond and be used in a disaster emergency and as a part of the normal economic development strategy for the community. It's been difficult for those of us who've worked in emergency management or economic development for the past 40 years or so to kind of get our heads around this new concept of resiliency. But that's really what it is, and those are the kind of projects that we're working on. So as we move ahead, we're going to be taking a look, for example, at the city's comprehensive plan here in the next year or so. And we need to be incorporating resiliency elements into that comprehensive plan. The county needs to be doing the same thing because they're still involved in managing the development activities in Harbor. So, and we need to work together to make sure that the city's comprehensive plan and the county's comprehensive plan are consistent. So there's a whole discussion beyond this that the public needs to become engaged in, and we'll have opportunities to do so in the future. But in the short term, if you have questions about these projects and this process, people are welcome to email me at gmelliman@brookings.or.us or call me at 541-469-1101. And it's okay to call me direct or email me direct. You know, not always at my desk waiting for the call, but I'll respond as quickly as I can if I miss you. So those are all ways to participate. Come to the October 5th statewide community meeting here at City Hall. You'll have an opportunity to hear our state partners on the phone, maybe by video. And you'll have an opportunity to hear community members from Reedsport talking about their projects as well. I think that would be an interesting experience for folks.
And Gary, you mentioned the county, so I know county is going to be awarded a grant from FEMA, and Curry Community Health is involved somehow in that. If you have just a sentence or two, and then we'll wrap it up, because I know this is running long, and I think we've covered a lot of ground in a short period of time, so thank you for that. Okay, so Gary, is there any other point that you'd like to make about this project or these projects that we haven't covered in this or the previous interview, which I'm going to let people know that they can listen to part one, too.
Really nothing additionally to contribute. We're putting the final touches together and hope people will come on the 5th and hear about what our proposals are.
I wanted to let everybody know we're going to try and incorporate a slideshow that Joyce Heffington is sharing with us, and it was originally the PowerPoint at the presentation at the EOC meeting on September 16th. So we want to have that available because not only is it contained additional information, it's a great PowerPoint. So thanks to Joyce for thinking to have us include that information. With that, Gary, I'd like to say thank you for your time, for being the person that has to be the big brain in all of this. Somebody has to figure out how these things all work. And don't forget to save the date, October 5th. And 10 to noon, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that's at the City Council Chambers. The NDRC application is due on October 22nd, so get your input in sooner rather than later. And as always, Gary, KCIW and Community Conversations are appreciative of the City of Brookings' efforts to build our community, whether that is emergency preparedness or economic development or both. We are truly blessed to have stable municipal governance and an experienced leader with such vision. In closing, if you appreciate knowing the whole story, please go to our website and listen to part one of the NDRC competition. KCIW continues to help grow our community's resilience and social cohesion in our own way. So we're very excited about this because it's a big part of who we are, too. So we're learning a lot as we go. Thank you, Justin Only, for being our tech guy extraordinaire today, and a special thanks to Joyce Heffington for all that she's been doing. And I guess if this interview turns out pretty well, it's going to be on the PEGS, the Public Education and Government Station.
Oh, great. Right.
And she's going to try and do a little photo montage, so hopefully that works out well. If there's anything else that you want to request of KCIW, go to kciw.org and you can leave information there. This is Connie Hunter signing off.
If you enjoyed this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio and help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.